I also want to remind you, during the Sundays in Lent, there is an insert that's found in your bulletin or attached to your large print bulletin, and those questions are just to encourage you to think more deeply or discuss with others some of the things that may or may not come up during the sermon and that may come up for the lesson of the day. I'd ask you to pray with me, please. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight. God, you who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Over these Sundays in Lent, the theme that I'm using is strange company, because the stories in the Gospels that lead us to Holy Week and Easter are scenes not just where Jesus is teaching or telling stories and parables, but they're scenes in which Jesus is interacting or having conversations with others. And he finds himself in some rather unexpected, strange company. That first Sunday, after 40 days in the wilderness, he's in the company of temptation with the devil and then with ministering angels at the end. And last week, he was in the company with that powerful and influential Nicodemus, but a meeting that happened in secret under the cover of darkness because Nicodemus had a lot that he could have lost. Jesus finds himself in company that proves pivotal and important for others or for him, transformative. And the company that Jesus kept, as we know, was frequently criticized. He usually didn't hang out with the A-list crowd. And when he did, it was probably tense and confrontive. Those are the stories that we often have. The bottom line is the company that Jesus kept always seemed a little bit strange. And if we had any wonder about whether the meeting we hear about today with the Samaritan woman at the well was strange, the reaction of the disciples when they arrive upon the scene confirms it. They were astonished. That's the word that we heard. They were astonished. Once again, Jesus was in strange, uncomfortably strange company. This reading is among my very favorite scenes in the Gospels, this meeting between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. It's an interaction that may still strike us as interesting, but it was more than interesting to that original ancient audience. It was scandalous. They would have been astonished, just like those disciples. So Jesus and his disciples were traveling through what was rather hostile territory, the region of Samaria. And there were centuries of aversion and enmity between Jews and Samaritans. In the reading, we're simply told they did not share things in common. It went deeper than that. It was religious. It was racial. It was centuries old. It was a setup for a meeting between the so-called chosen and the so-called rejected. And as a public conversation between a man and an unknown, unrelated woman, it also broke gender taboos, which would call into question the motives and the morality of both the woman and the man in that conversation. So this is not a casual exchange by strangers. It is highly charged with religious and racial and gendered barriers and taboos and tensions, with high stakes at risk in their honor-shame society. By addressing this Samaritan woman, Jesus is stepping into a cultural landmine. Scandalous conversation with an unnamed woman of an enemy people. And it turns out to be the longest dialogue that Jesus has with any person that is recounted in our Gospels. This shocking and scandalous meeting is the longest dialogue we have recounted in our Gospels between Jesus and any other person. It is an amazing and transgressive treasure. So it's worth considering briefly the scene that we hear today in light of the meeting with Nicodemus we heard about last week. Both of them are only found in the Gospel according to John, and they are a study in contrasts if we hold them up to one another. Nicodemus was a named leader of the chosen Jews. He was an insider and powerful. This woman is an unnamed, hated Samaritan, quintessentially outsider. Nicodemus comes to Jesus hidden in the dark of night. Jesus speaks with this woman in the bright light of noonday sun. Nicodemus initiates the meeting with gracious, civil words. Jesus begins the conversation with this woman with a pragmatic request, and she responds with, is it surprise? Is it suspicion? Is it disdain? Nicodemus misunderstands Jesus at every turn, and the Samaritan woman not just gets it, she gets excited by it. Nicodemus fades back into the shadows. The Samaritan woman hurries back to town with a story that, if you read several verses beyond where we end today, we hear that many in the region of Samaria came to believe in Jesus because she was telling everybody she knew. We never know, really, if Nicodemus fully comes out of the closet as a follower of Jesus. But this woman becomes the first recognizable evangelist of the good news. She may be unnamed, but she is unforgettable. So it's a fascinating conversation. Jesus starts with this direct comment, maybe a command, maybe a request. Give me a drink. It sounds simple, but it is not so simple. It is the opening of this conversation about living water, which she does not initially understand. Then Jesus tells her, go get your husband, which then opens up a whole new conversation and depth because she is transparent and with Jesus' insight. Now, it is important to interject here. When Jesus observes that she has five husbands and that she is with a man that is not her husband, Jesus, what does Jesus do? He commends her for her honesty and says nothing further. Any tone of moralistic judgment upon her or her sexual history is imported from somewhere else because it's not on the lips of Jesus in this story. Jesus uses the reality of her life not as a reason to judge her, but as a reason to have a conversation with her. Would that we all would do the same. And it's at this moment when Jesus shows a penetrating knowledge of her personal life, she realizes that she is in the presence of a real prophet. She is alert that this is a unique opportunity, and she has a question to ask. I think this is the pivotal moment in the conversation, the most pivotal moment in the conversation. And no one hearing or reading this story in the ancient world would avoid it. While she is unnamed, this woman can no longer be objectified as just a woman carrying water, no longer objectified as a Samaritan, no longer defined by the men who did or did not possess her, no longer even some despised or questioned other. She, in that moment, is displaying her intellect, her own soul, her own spiritual questions. And it is she, at this moment, who pushes this into a deeper theological conversation. You know, if you think about the stories we have of Jesus, in many places with his own disciples, and especially with religious authorities, Jesus seemed to be kind of annoyed by theological questions. But not so with this woman. I think this may have been one of Jesus' favorite conversations, too. So Jesus answers her theological question about worship. Who's right? Is it our people that God is to be worshipped on this mountain, or your people in Jerusalem? And Jesus essentially says it is not about fixing the where, that it's on this mountain or in this temple. It's about the who and the how, in spirit and in truth. And that cannot be owned by anyone or found on any map anywhere. It's not about the where. It is about the who is being worshipped and the how the worship is happening.